St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke 15, chapter the 11th through 19th verse. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. The scripture says, to illustrate the point, amen, further, Jesus told this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, the son packed his bags and moved to a distant country. There he wasted all of the money that his father had given him on wild living. About this time, his money ran out. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to be in want. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed pigs. Now the young man became so hungry that even the pods that the pigs were eating were appetizing to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally realized, amen, he came to his senses. He said to himself, at home, even my father's hired servants have food and enough to spare. But here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But if you will, please take me back as your hired servant. Amen. Hallelujah. He had an idea to go back home. In verse 17, when he finally realized what he was doing, he finally came to his senses. He said to himself, at home, even my father's hired servants have food enough and to spare. But here I am dying of hunger. What I'll do is go home. And I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but please take me back as your servant. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use the thought, I'm desperate. Father, I'm desperate for you. Amen. Father, I'm desperate for you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, I'm desperate for you. You see, last week we talked about the first 10 verses. Today we're continuing on in our study of St. Luke. We learned last week that we'll be looking at this all month long. We learned last week that St. Luke 15 is comprised of three parables. We learned last week that a parable is a non-spiritual story that illustrates a spiritual truth that God wants to teach us, that Jesus is trying to share with us. We learned that all three parables that are in this chapter, amen, illustrate to us or for us a point of how God responds when something is lost. There are four sermons in this series I'm doing. We did the first one last week. Today is the second one. Amen. And if I was going to title this series, I would have titled it Lost and Found. Amen. As we join today's text, we are introduced to a man who had two sons. Amen. Two sons. Amen. And the scripture says in verse 12 that the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now. Now, it was common in this day, amen, in this time that Jesus was telling this parable for a father to leave an inheritance for his children. Amen. The scripture talks about how a good man leaves an inheritance for his children, but not only his children, but his children's children. Not like nowadays, amen, with the modern day Rolling Stone father. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. When he died. Oh yeah, y'all ain't know I can hit that. Y'all ain't know I can hit that. Y'all ain't know I can hit that. Oh yeah, oh yeah. He left me alone, amen. When he died, he just left me alone. He didn't bother me any longer. But also, amen, when I listen to that song, I laugh because I chuckle to myself because, amen, my mind goes deeper sometimes, amen, than was presented to me, amen. And when I hear that, I think of, amen, not only did he leave me alone by myself, he left me alone, amen, with the bank. He left me in debt. He left me, amen, alone to pay off, amen, that he didn't want to pay before he died, amen. He left me alone, and he left me, amen, having to figure out how to bury him. He left me, amen, having to figure out, amen, how to get him in a proper grave. We have these modern day Rolling Stone fathers. Don't be a Rolling Stone dad, amen. Because back in this day, it was common for a man to leave something for his children, but not only his children, but his children, his children. But the son came to his father. He said, I want my share of your inheritance. Now, and according to Deuteronomy, the older son, amen, because he had two sons, this was the younger son that came to him. The older son would have been entitled to 2/3 of his father's estate once he died, and the younger son would have been entitled to 1/3 of his father's estate. But it wasn't unusual for the father to divide the estate before he died. It wasn't unusual for the father to decide that he didn't want to wait till he died, that he wanted to give it to his sons right away. It wasn't unusual for the father to decide that on his own merit, amen, prior to him dying. However, it was unusual for a son to come to his father and ask for his inheritance prior to him dying. This was wrong for many reasons, amen, but I'll just share two of the ones that I pointed out to you with you. First, the reason it was wrong, because this is the younger brother that came. The first in line is the older brother. The older brother would get his inheritance before the younger brother got his inheritance. And so for the younger brother to bypass the older brother and ask his father for the inheritance, he bypassed protocol to ask his father for the inheritance. It was wrong, amen. It showed a level of disrespect. And also, the second thing is it showed a level of disrespect not just to the brother, but also to the father. Because the father wasn't dead. But the son still asked for his inheritance. But in other words, amen, he was saying, Father, you're dead to me now. Give me my inheritance. Amen. You see, like the younger son's sin will make you full of yourself. You see, like the younger son's sin will make you act out of season. It will make you act too fast. It will cause you to act out of order. Sin will cause you to act like you owe something, like you're entitled, amen. Like somebody owes you something, like you need to get what it is that you want because you're entitled to it. Sin will cause you to act ungrateful and prideful. Sin will cause you to move too fast. Sin will make you believe that you have life all figured out. It will make you believe that you know better than God. You see, sin will cloud your better judgment. It will cause you to think you don't need the church. You don't need, amen, to come to church all like that. You know God, amen, for yourself, and you don't need to come to church. It has a way of causing you to take your blessings for granted. Sin is deceitful. Sin makes the glitter, believe that the glitter that's on the other side is better than the gold that you're holding in your hand. Amen, I'm going to say that again. Amen. Sin makes you believe that the glitter, amen, that's on the other side, the temptations that are on the other side is better than the gold that you're holding in your hand. It causes you to take for granted where you are right now. It causes you, amen, to feel like this is nothing, amen. What's on the other side is better than what I'm holding in my hand. And if you forfeit what you're holding for the glitter on the other side, amen, you'll give up everything. It causes you to destroy the gold that's in your hand for the promise of glitter on the other side. All that glitter, they say, is not gold. Don't be distracted by the glitter of life. Amen. Don't be distracted by the glitter of life. The glitter of life will steal your gold. The glitter of life will cause you, amen, to give up, amen, things that are valuable in exchange for the promise of glitter. It's not even, you're not even going to get the glitter. You're not even going to get what's behind it. It's just a promise of it. We promise we're going to give it to you. We dangle it in front of you, amen, and we're going to give it to you. But you sometimes never get it. You see, the glitter of life is deceptive. The glitter of life will cost you everything. So the younger son, he asked his father for his inheritance early. And not only after, and not long after he received his inheritance, amen, he left his father's house and began living a wasteful life. I like this story, amen, this part of the story, because it shows us how God does not force his will on us. You see, although the son was dead wrong, amen, the father still honored his request. Amen, although the son, amen, had things out of season and he was out of turn and out of order, the father still honored the son's request. You see, the Father didn't force his will on the Son. And God, amen, although sin is dead wrong, will never force you to serve him. Amen, although sin, amen, is dead wrong, God will never force you, amen, force his will upon you. Although he has better plans for you, although his will is much better than the sin that you're choosing, than the glitter that you're choosing, he will never force his will on you. You can make whatever decision you like, and you're going to be left with the consequences of the decision that you make. Amen? So the younger son asked his father for his inheritance, and he left his house after he received what he asked for. You see, sin will cause you to waste your life. It will cause you to waste your talents. He wasted everything that he received on because he didn't value it. He wasted it on righteous living. He wasted his life, amen, his talents, his resources, his time. And sin will cause you to do the exact same thing. But many times we don't even realize that sin is a trap. You see, sin is deceiving. It's like a credit card. You enjoy now, but you're going to pay later. Amen. That interest is going to catch up with you. Amen. You make the minimum payment if you want to, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to be paying it off forever. Because you enjoy it now, you can buy, amen, those things you can't afford now. You can buy the clothes you can't afford now. You can put it on the car. You can charge it. But you better believe you're going to pay it. At one time or another, it's deceiving. You buy now, but you pay later. Amen. You may not have to answer for your sin today. In the society now that is set up the way it is, amen, you can do what you want, say what you want, live how you want, and nobody will say nothing to you. Amen. You can become a man if you're a woman if you want to. Amen. And nobody will say nothing to you. You know, you actually get talked about if you say something about the fact that they are changing their identity. Because of the society that we live in nowadays, amen, everything is acceptable. Everything is okay. You don't have to answer for your sin. You don't have to be accountable for your sin. You don't have to be accountable, amen, for your actions because everything is acceptable. But trust me, there's a day coming when you have to answer for everything. You'll have to be accountable. There's a day coming. It may not be today, but there's a day coming where you have to answer for everything. You see, you pay for sin with guilt. You pay for sin with shame. You pay for sin with grief. You pay for sin with heartache. You pay for sin with sorrow. You pay for sin with consequences. You pay for sin with disgrace. You pay for sin with embarrassment and humiliation. You pay for sin with things that captivate your mindset. You pay for sin with things that ensnare your heart and entrap you. You pay for sin, amen, with addiction. You pay for sin with soul ties. You pay for sin with things that trap your soul. You pay for sin with things that apprehend your focus, that entangle your heart. You pay for sin with things, amen, that entangle your emotions. You pay for sin. Yeah. You may not pay physically with cash or credit, but you pay. You trust me, you're going to pay. You see, sin is not free. There's always a price to pay. Sin is not free. There's always a sacrifice involved. Sin is not free. There's always a costly exchange. Sin is not free. There's always an inadvertent expense. You may not see it up front. You may not see what it's going to cost you. Amen. But you have to realize that sin will eventually cost you everything. Sin will eventually cost you everything. This is precisely where the son found himself in this story. Verse 14 lets us know once he had spent all that he had, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to starve. They say that sin will always keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Amen. Sin will always keep you longer than you plan to stay and cost you more than you plan to pay. You see, I'm sure that this son didn't plan on spending all his money. I'm sure that the son didn't understand or take into account the recessions of life that will come his way. You see, many times when we enter into sin, we don't think about the cost of sin. Right. We don't think about the cost, amen, that it will take on our, the toll that it will take on our mind. We don't think about the cost and the toll that it will take on our emotions. We don't realize the toll it will take, amen, on our focus. You know, we don't realize the toll, amen, we have goals and dreams and things we want to accomplish. We don't realize that we'll have to put those dreams and goals on hold, amen, because sin will cost us everything. You see, I'm going to have to spend all my time on this sin. I'm going to have to spend all my time fixing this sin. I'm going to have to spend all my time trying to make this work because I'm in sin and I have left my focus over here. I have to put this on hold because I have to spend all my time over here, all my frustration, all my anger, all my time over here. Amen. Trying to make something work that never should have been, I never should have been involved in the first place. Right.
But the thing is, because we don't realize, we don't take into account, amen, what it will cost us, we just go ahead and blindly go into it. It's a trap. See? It's a trap. And it will keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Again, I'm sure this man didn't account for the fact that he would run out of money. Amen. When he got his money, all he was thinking about was having a good time. Amen. All he was thinking about is going to that party, amen, that the people been talking about all his life that he could never afford to go to. But now, since he got his father's inheritance, he can go. Come on. He didn't think about, amen, the recessions of life. He didn't think about losing everything. He didn't consider losing everything, losing his heart, losing his soul, losing his mind, losing everything because he was so caught up with his sin. Sure, he didn't plan on wasting his life. He didn't plan on wasting his resources. He didn't plan on wasting his talents. He didn't plan on wasting his time. He just planned on having a good time. That's all he wanted to do. Is that too much to ask? I just want to be married. That's too much to ask. I just want somebody to love me. Is that too much to ask? I just want to have fun. Is that too much to ask? I just want to enjoy my life. Is that too much to ask? And we enjoy our life at the expense of our soul. We enjoy our life. We get involved in things that we shouldn't be involved with at the expense, amen, of our goals, of our aspirations, of the things that we want to accomplish in our lives. We become nothing because we go all in for something that we should never go all in for. We go all in and go all in for Jesus.
Ron's gonna stay, amen. I hope so. Listen, he probably just planned on having a good time. But sin is an illusion. You see, sin is fun until it's not fun anymore. Sin is fun until it's time to pay the consequences. Fornication is fun until you realize you gave your body to somebody who didn't deserve it. Amen. Fornication is fun until that baby comes. He shows up out of nowhere. Fornication, amen, is a good time. You see, getting high is fun until you overdose. Cheating is fun until you get caught. Uh-huh. Amen. I cheat hard sometimes. My wife blames me for cheating. I can't say I cheat. Amen. I can't confess to that. Amen. But my wife says I cheat. Amen. All the time. Amen. But it's fun until you get caught. Because I'm beating her. I'm beating her. I'm beating her. And all of a sudden, what you doing with that stuff under you? What you mean? I came with the game. What you talking about? Praise the Lord. Amen. Sin is fun until it's not fun anymore. It's all good until it's time to pay the consequences of our sin. You see, this is exactly where the prodigal son found himself, paying the consequences of the sin that he had left his father for. Verses 15 to 16 lets us to know that he moved in with the farmer because he had no other choice. He spent all that he had. He spent all everything his father gave him. He wasted it. He didn't invest it. He didn't save it. He didn't value it. He wasted it because of his mindset. You see, it's all about your mindset. You have to value, amen, the valuable. Amen, you have to treasure the sacred. Amen, you cannot, amen, go on living your life doing things you shouldn't do and expect a good result in return. He left everything. He lost everything because he didn't value it in the first place. And when he got to rock bottom, he had no other choice. He went to a farmer and began to take a job, and the farmer sent him in the field feeding pigs. You see, he was so hungry because he had no food. He was so hungry because he hadn't eaten in a long time that even the food that he was feeding to the pigs looked good to him. Even the food that he was feeding to the pigs looked appetizing. You see, a pig would eat anything. A pig will, amen, eat some treacherous things. They would eat anything. But even the food that they were eating looked appetizing. You see, according to the Jewish law, the law of Moses, pigs were considered unclean for a very good reason. If you look at them, you watch a pig, you will see why they are unclean. Right. Because they literally are unclean. Right. But Jews were not allowed to go anywhere near pigs because they were unclean, let alone touch a pig. But because of sin, he had hit rock bottom. Because he was doing something, amen, that he didn't value, he lost everything that he had, he began to do something that he thought he would never do. You see, sin will cause you to hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Sin will cause you to do things that you said you would never do. Sin will cause you to do things you thought you would never do. They say sin always offers you a way in, but never a way out. Yeah. Sin will leave you desperate. Sin will leave you lost. Sin will leave you lonely. Sin will leave you depressed. It will leave you deserted. Sin will leave you with no direction. Sin will leave you feeling empty. Sin will leave you feeling out of place. Sin will leave you feeling isolated. Sin will leave you feeling hopeless. Sin will leave you feeling miserable. It will leave you feeling abandoned. Sin will leave you feeling suicidal at times. Sin will leave you feeling disgraced. Sin will leave you feeling, amen, like a failure. Sin, amen, will mess you up. Sin will make you feel, amen, like you have no value. Sin will leave you feeling hopeless, restless. And I can imagine that this man felt all these feelings as he knelt down to feed these unclean pigs. Amen. He had no other choice because he had spent all he had and he needed to make some money and he needed to feed himself because he didn't value what his father gave him. And so he just wasted it on riotous living. And now he had no other choice but to feed the pigs. But the scripture says when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at my father's house, even the higher servants, even the people on the lowest of the totem pole have food enough and to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and I will say to him, I have sinned before both you and heaven. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me one of your higher servants. I'm willing to go be the lowest man on the totem pole because I just want to come home. You see, he finally realized through his pain that he never should have left home in the first place. He finally realized through his pain that he never should have left home the way that he did. He finally realized through his pain that he had taken his father for granted. He finally realized through his pain that he needed the father the whole time. He finally realized through his pain, amen, that life without his father was hopeless. When will you realize that life without the father is hopeless? When will you realize that life without the father is pointless? When will you realize that life without the father is worthless, is useless? Amen. When will you realize that life without the father is irrelevant and insignificant? When will you realize that you need God more than you realize on your own right now? You need the father, amen, in your life. You need him guiding you. You need him showing you which way to go. You need him to show you which path to take. You need him directing you and showing you exactly how to live your life. When will you realize that you need God more than you can give credit for? You need him more. Amen. And you have to get to the point where you need God more than you need that sin in your life. You see, life without the Father makes us prodigal. You see, prodigal, all it means is to be wasteful and reckless. Life without the Father, amen, causes us to be wasteful and reckless. Without the Father, our lives, amen, are pointless and prodigal. Verses 18 and 19, he said, I'll go home to my father, amen, and let him know I have sinned and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your higher servants. The scripture lets us to know he's willing to go back home to be the lowest man on the totem pole. Amen. You see, sin has stripped him of his identity. Amen. He was willing, amen, to leave because he realized, amen, he forfeited his identity in the beginning of the story. And so he said, listen, I'm not trying to be your son. I'm not trying to be restored to my former glory. All I want to do is come home. All I want to do is be in your presence. All I want to do is be with you. Amen. I realize I need you more than anything. You see, he was stripped of his identity, and sin will cause you, amen, to be stripped of your identity. It will cause you to delay your calling. It will cause you to put off your destiny. It will cause you to postpone your purpose. As I get ready to close, this man was so desperate because of his sin. He was willing to be a higher servant at his father's house. He just wanted to go home. Psalm 84:10 lets us to know, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live a good life with the homes of many wicked. You see, we should be more willing to do God's will than we are to live our life of sin. This man in the text was so famished. The man in the text was so eager. He was so thirsty. The man in the text was so desperate for food that he took what he could get feeding pigs. But once he came to his senses, he realized that he needed his father the whole time. He came to his senses. He realized instead of being desperate, amen, for the things of the world, instead of being thirsty for the things of the world, instead of being eager for the things of the world, he needed to turn his desperation toward his father. You see, too many of us are desperate for the wrong things. You know, we're not going to admit we're desperate because nobody wants to look like a desperado. Amen. But we won't admit it, amen. But many of us are thirsty for the wrong things. Amen. Many of us are desperate for the wrong things. We're thirsty for a relationship.
thirsty for a man, thirsty for a woman, desperate, amen, for companionship, desperate for a better job. We're desperate for some extra money. We're desperate, amen, for success, desperate, amen, for some attention, desperate to see our goals manifest, desperate, amen, for a vision to become reality, desperate for the glitter of life, amen, the promise of glitter, amen. We're willing to risk the value that we have in our hands, amen, for the glitter that's on the other side. And once we receive these things, we end up wasting our lives, our time, our righteous living. And like the son in the story, because he didn't value what his father gave him, he wasted it. And because we don't value our father the way we should, we waste our life on sin. Because we don't value ourselves, value what God has put in us, value the treasure that we have, we believe that we can't do better than this sin. We believe that we can't do better than compromising. Even though we got to wait, amen, for what God has for us on this side, we feel like we can't do better. We don't believe. We don't have a value on the inside. We don't believe that we can do better. We don't believe that God can bless us. We don't believe, amen, so we try to do it on our own. Wasting our time. Giving our all over here. Well, God has so much more for you on this side. But because you don't value yourself, because you don't value what God has put in you, because you don't value the Father, you say, hey, well, this is the best I can do. Well, I might as well accept it. All men are cheaters. Well, I might as well accept it. I can't do no better than this. Well, I might as well accept it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself sacrificing everything just to have something over here. But God has so much more for you. If you recognize your value, if you recognize the value that he put in you, if you recognize the value that he has for you, if you recognize that he is the goal, amen, that you need to hold on to, instead of letting go of the goal for the glitter over here, you need to realize that he has more for you, but you will risk it all because you don't have the value that you should have. Just like the son in the story, he didn't value what his father gave him, and so he wasted it. And sin causes us to waste it because it causes us to think about the fact that we don't have the value that we need. You see, we need God more than we realize. We need to serve him. And we need to value him. Amen. And we need to value what he put inside of us. Amen. We need to be more desperate for God than we are for our sin. More desperate for God than we are for that man. More desperate for God than we are for that woman. More desperate for God than we are for that relationship. More desperate for God than we are for that companion. More desperate for God than we are for that success. More desperate for God than we are for that thing that we want so bad. More desperate for the Lord than we are desperate for the things of the world. You see, Lord, I'm so desperate for you. Amen. I need you more than anything. I need you like the desert needs the rain. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I'm desperate for you like the ocean needs the stream. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I need you more than the morning needs the sun. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. I need you more than the evening needs the moon. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you like the deer is desperate for some water. I'm desperate for you like the car, amen, is desperate without gasoline and can't move. I need you, Lord God, like the bird needs the wings, amen. The bird don't have value without his wings. I need you, Jesus, like the bird needs the wings. I need you like the plane needs the pilot. I need you, Lord, like the bird, the beast needs the sand and the sand and pen needs the ink. I need you like the air I need to breathe. I'm desperate for you, Jesus. Desperate for your grace. Desperate for your mercy. Desperate for your love. Desperate for your favor. Desperate for your compassion. Desperate for your peace and your patience. Desperate for your kindness. I'm desperate for your beauty. I'm desperate for your touch. I'm desperate for your goodness. I'm desperate for your forgiveness. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Hallelujah. I'm desperate. Oh God, I need you. I need you. I need you. Jesus, I need you. You see, we gotta stop being ashamed to call on the Lord. We gotta start telling God that we desperate for him. We need him more than anything in our lives. Amen. And when you become desperate for him, you realize the value that he has for you and that he has in himself. You realize and understand all that he has for you over here is much better than anything that's offered in the glitter pot. Jesus. I'm desperate. I need you. I'm not desperate for a man. I'm forgiven. outside of your will. You see, if anything will take you outside of the will of God, all it is glitter. If you need to go outside the will of God to get what it is that your goal is just glitter. God is the goal of life. We need to hold on to the goal. Hold on to the value that he has given us. Hold on to the goal because, amen, the glitter on the other side will leave you desperate.
That's right.
But Lord, I'm more desperate for you than I am for that glitter on the other side. Amen. No matter how desperate sin has led you, let Jesus become the thing that you're desperate for. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to honor him.